Not to jump to conclusions or be stereotypical, but I think everybody has a favorite place. That one place that shaped you into the person you are today and where you have your fondest memories. I have heard countless stories about me growing up here, and I was lucky enough to get a glimpse of my little cousin growing up here herself. This infamous place I'm talking about is my great-grandparents' house. Every Thanksgiving, we used to go home to Iowa to see all of my family. It was about a 14-hour drive that I spent about half of it sleeping, but it was totally worth it when we would pull up to the familiar houses that belonged to my grandparents, aunts, and uncles and cousins. I actually have a pretty small family, only one aunt and uncle, only two first cousins, and all my grandparents on my mom's side. Even though we are small, we are very close, and I love them all more than anything in the world. When we are all together, I feel like we are one big clan, a force to be reckoned with. We would drive back and forth between my two grandparents' houses on our annual trip, but the one central house that everybody wanted to be at was my great-grandparents'. I don't know the exact year of when they bought it, but I know it had been in the family for years since my grandpa was a young boy working on the farm and causing trouble on the small street corner right by the water tower that read George. If you ask me to tell you all about the house and describe the furniture and different decorations and the general layout of the house, I would. I'd been going there since I was born. There was a picture of my great-grandpa holding me as a baby and a signature chair in their living room. They had a wraparound porch around the house with a small TV that I used to watch Beauty and the Beast on for hours on end, and a small table that my brother and cousins and I would play restaurant at, taking turns being waiters and bringing plastic food and cups out to each other. Those plastic cups and food came from a small wooden cabinet playset that was probably older than my parents, but it had enough toys in there to keep us kids occupied for hours as the adults sat outside in fold-up chairs, drinking beers and watching the cars drive by on the road, the very little amount of cars there were. Nobody could really describe the feeling that we got when we were there, but we knew it was a special place. In 2007, my great-grandpa passed away. I didn't know my great-grandpa very well, and I was a lot younger when he passed, so I didn't go to his funeral, but I still thought about him and loved him. Since his passing, my great-grandma's health started declining, and we had to put her in a nursing home, the last place she wanted to be. She just wanted to be in her house, just like the rest of us wanted. We would call her and talk to her once a week, and we made sure we'd go visit her in the nursing home when we went back for Thanksgiving. 2 years ago, though, right before our annual trip, my grandma had to go to the hospital. I'm not sure exactly what had happened, but we all knew she only had a few days left. It was one of the saddest things I'd ever seen, her eyes shut, laying in the hospital bed, struggling to stay alive. I would walk over and hold her wrinkled, warm hand and sit there and talk to her. Even though she couldn't respond, I knew she could hear me. Seeing the rest of my family cry was also one of the hardest things. I was trying to stay strong until I saw my grandpa run out of the room with tears streaming down his face. And let me tell you, my grandpa is not the kind of person to cry. He's one of those grandpas who would tell me to suck it up if I cried past the age of 5. After that, my cousin, brother, and my mom couldn't hold it in anymore as we were standing in the hospital room that felt like it kept getting smaller and smaller, closing in on our family. She was the glue that held our family together, and soon we all knew she would be gone. The last day I saw her, we all walked up to her and told her it was okay for her to let go. She didn't have to fight anymore. And finally, on November 26, 2011, the day before my mom's birthday, she passed away in her sleep. I hope I don't jinx this, but besides my great-grandparents, I haven't had any other serious deaths in my family, so my great-grandma's passing hit me really hard. Going back to her house knowing she was gone didn't feel the same anymore. I walked throughout the house and thought about where she would be, thinking about all the stories I'd heard about her, like how she would play the organ in the corner for hours and the family would be gathered around her singing every song in the book. I'd rather think about her like that, full of life and jubilant, instead of lifeless, laying in the hospital bed days before her demise. I knew there was no way we could keep the house anymore because there's nobody living in it, but I had always hoped that somehow we would make it work. But unfortunately, the only sensible thing to do was to sell the house. My last time ever being in that house, saying goodbye to my family and driving away from it, my whole family was looking out the window with one tear escaping our eyes, driving away from our favorite place, knowing that was the last time we'd ever see it. Now, fortunately, we have small things throughout our house from theirs that remind us of it. Like my great-grandpa's initials were ALK, and he had those letters hanging up in the kitchen, and I got the L letter to hang in my own room. Small things like that around my house remind me of the happier days when my family was all together in our favorite place in the world, which seemed like the most unlikely place. Now all we have are the pictures and memories of the brown house with butterflies hanging right by the door on a street corner by a water tower that read George, Iowa.